Okay, we'll reconvene to open session. We'll start with the flag salute. Mike, would you like to lead us?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, with that, before we have the report out of closed session, can I have a roll call again, please?
Director Baltimore.
Here.
Director Vogel.
Here.
Director Wright.
Here.
Vice President Newhart.
Here.
President Nahilski.
Present. Okay, we'd let the record show that all the directors are present. Director Moodhart joined us during closed session. So, John, would you give us a report, please?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. We do have two categories of closed session items listed on tonight's agenda, which the board discussed, just recently discussed in closed session, three of which are pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 that allows the board to meet in closed session with its legal counsel related to pending litigation. Those items, as listed in the agenda, were reviewed by the board by legal counsel in closed session, but the board took no reportable action. As to the agenda item under Category B, these are personnel matters, which authorizes the board to go into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957. One was a conference with our labor negotiators that constitute Mr. Gilmore and myself. The employee organization is the San Luis Obispo County Employees Association, or SLOCEA. The other one was the general manager's performance review. The board did meet with its labor negotiators, heard an update, and gave instructions, and the general manager's performance review will be continued to the next board meeting. That concludes my report.
Thank you, John. So with that, we'll move into the next item on the agenda, which is general public comment on items not on our agenda.
Twist it towards you.
State your name for the record, Frank.
Frank Casilio of Associates. First thing I want to talk about is the Integrated Waste Management Authority Board. They're going to have a meeting in January sometime to discuss the issue of banning plastic and paper bags or charging for paper bags. I believe you have representation as a CSD on that board, and I haven't heard, I don't recall seeing this board make a recommendation, actually agendize the item for the public and take an input from the public, and then making a recommendation to your representative, Mr. Sullivan, on that board. And I'd like to see you agendize this item before the meeting so you can hear from the public. My concern is that, you know, when they're going to ban plastic, to me, okay, because of the problems with plastic, but at least come up with that plastic will be banned until such time that they come up with a reasonable biodegradable system. The idea of charging, requiring the grocery stores to charge 10 cents a bag when they already have figured into their pricing structure the cost of paper and plastic. Now, is the government regulation going to say they have to eliminate the cost that they're already charging for plastic and paper and this charge those people who buy the plastic bags? I don't think so. I'd like to see that in the regulation, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's a revenue stream that I don't think the grocery stores want to give up at this time. But it's something I think you need to bring up to the board and say, to mandate that. Let the grocery stores decide if they want to charge or not charge, since it's already put in their structure already. The other issue is that the LaCita County, when people say things that are incorrect about the county, Pavel has written letters to the editor saying, hey, no, this is the way it was or is. And I've seen other people do the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor, and to follow up a little bit on what Frank just said, the fabrication regarding the Los Osos sewer project and federal funding being available in the past is deceptive. At the time infrastructure funds were available from the federal government, Los Osos was a community of approximately 3,500 people and under the umbrella of the county. In other words, under the control of the county. The county did not want the responsibility of the sewer nor applying for general grant fund money. But if Los Osos had a county service area, they could apply. They would apply. Establishing a CSA for Los Osos took too long, and the federal fundings had dried up. Pollution of the estuary is what the county and Supervisor Gibson continues to bank on as being the rationale for getting a sewer project. If there were sewer project, septic tank projects in the community that needed to be taken care of, then the Public Health Department would address the subject. If this were a fact, does anyone believe the state would allow the harvesting of 750,000 oysters per year by the Morro Bay Oyster Company for human consumption? Let's be realistic, ladies and gentlemen. The reason for this sewer project is not for health of this community. It is because of politics. The rationale behind all of this should be and was to be nitrates. It isn't anymore because they don't even know if nitrates have decreased in our water. What we do have, what we have had and are continuing to have is saltwater intrusion. This has got to be addressed now, not next week, and the sewer project is not going to address it.
Thank you.
Good evening, I am Julie Tacker, and I couldn't help notice that tonight's agenda was relatively light. That's unfortunate. I think there are issues that your board should be taking up. One of them, the public has been coming to the microphone for the last several months, and we believe that you should be investigating the conflicts that Director Kelly may have had with her relationship with Public Works Director Pavel Ogren. I don't see an RFP for our IT services in front of you, and I think that's long overdue. I did see that Director Muthart was at the board supporting a crosswalk at Bush and Los Osos Valley Road. This is a good thing. Thank you for doing that. But your board could have been part of that and been it could have been a voice of the board to support that. Water conservation. I mentioned it last meeting, and I think you should be all over it. A letter to the Board of Supervisors, asking them to implement that conservation program. Spend that $5 million now. I think that is the money the community is willing to pony up to see water conservation actually taking place in our community. Then Frank and then Gwen just touched on the 30-year saga. And yes, the financial aspect of it has been a long, torturous ride. But part of the reason for that is that we've never had resolution to where the wastewater would go after we treated it. We argued about its location, we argued about its collection system, and still we didn't know where the water was going to go at the end of the process. And as recently as the Tri-W project was playing hide the water. It was going to hide the water, excess sewage water, treated wastewater, in the plant. Energy consuming, money wasting, Rube Goldberg embarrassing plan to hide the water. We're still having problems hiding the water. The farmers are not interested in taking the wastewater, and that has been the Achilles heel of every project that has been before this community, where to put the water. So let's not talk about we should have built it 30 years ago. We'd be rebuilding it now if we...
On whether you would allow that. I mean, I've heard that Mr. Gilmore at a meeting said he didn't think it would be a problem, but I think we need more than that before we proceed than just we think. And then on switching gears completely, since we're entering the holiday season, I'm not going to talk about needs and wishes, the sixth annual needs and wishes fundraiser tonight, because you're going to have one more meeting before the event, and we'll talk about it then. But what I do want to talk about, because that will be started before the next board meeting, is the Salvation Army bell ringers. And I just want to point out to the community that the times of the three directors that volunteered to do it, when they will be doing it and where they will be. So if you want to come see them, discuss issues, and obviously drop something in the bucket. Mike Wright will be at Ralph's on Saturday, December 3rd, from 2 to 4. Leonard will be at Ralph's on December 10th, from 2 to 4. And Marshall will be at Ralph's on December 16th, from 2 to 4. And Leonard will be following a gentleman who, up until last year, he wasn't able to ring, but up until last year was probably the oldest bell ringer, possibly in the county, but definitely in this community, Howard Meyer, the 101-year-old Iwo Jima veteran, will be taking one shift this year on December 10th from 12 to 2. So you will be following him, and he will definitely have a crowd that day. We're getting the word out, and there will be people there to see him. He's going to wear his Iwo Jima cap. And so that's when they're out there, gentlemen. Thank you for volunteering, and we hope to see you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I would point out, I am going to give you time at the beginning of next meeting to discuss the December fundraiser.
Thank you.
Elaine Watson. This question really is for Dan. Dan will probably recall that he and I exchanged several emails a while back in which I was asking for water quality information. We knew that it came out in some kind of report, and we were specifically looking for chloride levels. And we emailed back and forth, and we never did get anything that we could actually use. Keith Weimer finally asked the right person, and we did get it from Rob Miller. And report that's it's called the May 2011 Monthly Monitoring Report, and it was all there. And the reason we wanted to see this, the chloride levels, is to find out what's going on with seawater intrusion. The Palisades well is now, according to this report from May, is now up to 398 milligrams per liter, and that's up from 360 milligrams per liter in January of 2010. That means that the LOCSD's biggest supply well is almost undrinkable at this point. It's getting there. It's getting worse. The South Bay well continues to have problems, and I know the Third Street well, I think, is offline right now. And maybe some others are, I'm not sure. But we're wondering what's going on with the water supply and when are we going to run out of water? And this is a real concern. Seawater intrusion is continuing to march on, and the ISJ, without any kind of agreement from the ISJ, there's no intertie or exchange, no nitrate treatment, no outdoor conservation, no shifts in the upper aquifer, nothing. And these things have to be addressed if we're going to salvage this water supply. Rob told us at the water ops that nitrate treatment at South Bay, if it happens, will be about $500,000. Moving wells will cost customers money. Recycling will cost customers money. Conservation will cost money. All of these things are going to cost money. And that's all on top of the cost of this wastewater project. So these are things that we really, really have to seriously look at, and we need you to come out in the lead on this with the county on our behalf. Also want to support Richard's comment about the nitrate testing. We'd like to get a verdict on whether or not we could do that or not. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other further public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. I have, John, just as something that came up in public comment, do you want to give us an update on the ISJ progress and where we stand on that?
I have really notified the cost, and then if we were to pay for it as a, as if the district were to pay for it, how might we do that? So those are two actionable items I'd like from staff for the next meeting. I don't know about anybody else.
Well, I think that direction is adequate. I think that will let you off the hook for the Salvation Army ringer, too. So. No, apparently not.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Okay, so okay. Staff, can we have that? And I think the third part of that is that what the public has suggested is that the public actually provide the funds for the testing. So I think we need to look at that as an available option and whether that's doable and how that could
and the
or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and the members of the public, particularly Richard, offered to give a short, synopsis of what he, what they had in mind specifically. So he offered to do that.
Okay. So any other comments on the public comment? The public comment's closed. It's by the board.
Frank brought up the integrated waste management and the... Okay. The bags. I would agree. I would like to have us also discuss that, and then maybe come to a conclusion and voice as a board our opinion.
Yeah, and we, as Frank mentioned, the special districts, we do have a representative on integrated waste management, which is Greg Sullivan from Templeton. So we could communicate not only to the Integrated Waste Management Authority, but we can we can communicate to him too. But so would you see that coming straight to the board? Or, we don't really have a committee that would look at that, so how do you envision that?
I personally, I think it's, I don't want to say it's small enough. I think, it's an important topic, but I think we could probably do it just through the 3 minutes in the meetings here and discuss as a board. To do something quickly. Or you can run it through one of the subcommittees.
And what's the schedule for that? Do you know? So we could do it in the January or December or January.
Well, then we could send it to the subcommittee and then bring it to the board in January.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Might be more productive. The question is which one. I guess finance would be where it would best go.
Yeah.
Or utilities. We only have two, so. Or emergency services, but I find that as more tenuous.
Yeah. Utilities is kind of impacted now.
I think it should go to finance.
All right, we'll take it to finance committee at our next meeting, and then we'll bring it to the board in January.
Well, we do have the ability to make an ad hoc committee, and this would, if you think it's worth that.
I think we can take it to the regular.
Okay.
I think we're good.
Okay.
And then we can just make sure that any of the public that are interested in it, like Frank or anybody else, can come to that meeting. So we'll publicize that at that particular financial advisory committee meeting, we're going to discuss that. And I'm not thinking of the one in 2 weeks. I'm thinking of the one before the January meeting.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, that then ends the comment on public comment. So we'll move into the agenda items here. Our first agenda item is the public hearing on the consideration and to tabulate written protests from solid waste customers and property owners regarding proposed solid waste rate increase. So we have a staff report on this item.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, President Ohilski. As you remember from last time, this was an item to consider the request of a 4.51% rate increase by Mission Country Disposal. There was a significant discussion and a decision by the board last time to use solid waste reserves to offset half of that rate increase, which requires that we go ahead and process and approve the entire 4.51%, and then Mission Country Disposal will bill us for that, the other half of that, what that increase would have otherwise been in terms of their revenues. To date, we've received 10 protests, which obviously does not represent a 50% majority by any means. The decision before you tonight is to finally approve the rate increase and make a finding that the majority protest does not exist, and then adopt Resolution 2011-25, which grants final approval to the rate increase.
Okay, any questions of staff?
Mr. President, I might just have a couple concluding comments.
I'm sorry, John.
Since this is subject to Prop 218, I want to make sure the procedures are correct. Procedurally, the board would open the public hearing to receive public comment and call for any written protests that the district has not received. In order to have a valid,
it gives me insight to the, you know, the population out there. And I particularly want to thank Dr. Hopefully I pronounced names right, Lanny Steele and Dr. Gary Mickle, because not only did they say, they said whether they're for or against it, of course, against it, they gave solutions, and that's helpful. That is helpful. So thank you for the input.
Thank you. I think I just wanted to clarify, I wanted to clarify exactly what was out on the protest, because I think I had some concerns expressed in the Financial Advisory Committee that it wasn't really clear. The Mission Country Disposal requested the increase of 5.12%, I believe. Was it
4.5?
But the district, through the Financial Advisory Committee and this board, actually halved that increase, because we're eating half of the increase. So only half of that increase is being passed on to the ratepayers. And I think that's an important thing to notice, because when this first came to the board, there was a lot of comments about the impacts and how we could do something to address and reduce the impacts on the community. And I think if you look at the staff report, you see that the proposed change is 19 cents. So, I mean, I think we did a pretty good, that's on the lower rate, but it's 19 cents. So the district, I think, was very, very responsive in cutting the increase down in half. So I wanted to thank the public for that comment, and I guess that follows up on Director Baltimore's comment. With that, then, we'll go to public comment and anybody that wants to submit an additional written protest.
Richard Margetson, we now have some of the lowest trash rates in the county and the best level of emergency services in the county amongst the CSDs. Anyway, tied to this, the franchise agreement with the county, or with Mission Country, the discussion about it eventually being turned over to the county, or if we keep it and make the payment. Now, we had had discussions and the committees, and there was kind of consensus that Marshall would make contact with Supervisor Gibson and county staff on the possibilities of us keeping it and making the payment directly from Mission Country to the county for repaying the loan that they're giving us through the bankruptcy. We currently do that with the fire contract. And those discussions were put off until this worked its way through and tonight happened. My question is, when will those discussions start with Mr. Gibson and the county on the possibilities? And there were, I'm not going to go through all of them now. They were discussed at finance, but there were a number of scenarios that were thrown out there, because I think it's important for us to keep this just for that little residual value that fund will have that will eventually build if we establish a set payment with the county for the repayment of that $2.8 million. That's it. Thank you.
And I'll answer that question quickly. Assuming that this is approved tonight, we will start those discussions. I've already had preliminary discussions with the county. So,
Frank Cilio, Los Osos. Hopefully you'll share, Greg, you'll share those suggestions with the public about what they had, because there's going to be increases again. We can, you know, pretty much guarantee that. Those of us who have utility bills know that it's very rare or doesn't happen at all that utilities go down. They continually go up through the years. And this community is facing almost a $200 million wastewater project. They're facing increase in water rates, both from the CSD, it's going to be coming down the line, and from Golden State. Where other communities, you know, when I'm looking at Morro Bay, when the Morro Bay mayor says that they're facing a, you know, $34 million wastewater project for Morro Bay and Cayucas, and that's not affordable. And they want to look at alternatives because that's just too much for their constituents to have to pay. When I listen to the Paso Robles people who say that the Nacimiento water that they're tied into is too expensive for them, you know, and I have understanding that, yeah, I think it is expensive. But somehow when it comes to Los Osos, we don't get the same consideration. So there's going to be, where I'm going with this, is there going to be, oh, you want me to wait? Okay.
For the district, for the other half to be paid from solid waste reserve funds.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion or questions?
Yes, we
do. I think we do. I have.
Is this worded properly? In the sense, as I read it, approving the solid waste and that staff in Mission County Disposal be directed to implement half of the approved rate increase. No, they're going to implement the full rate increase. Just how it's going to be paid.
Right, but the to the customers, the Mission County Disposal will bill half of the approved rate increase to the customers and bill us for the other half.
Directed to implement half of the approved rate increase to the customers and bill the district for the other half.
Can we say that? Put the word customers in there?
I think that the resolution itself recites all of that. So if you just had the motion to approve the resolution, I think you would. I think
that's your the motion would be. If you think it's okay, then that's fine.
Yeah, I think that the motion could be is the board finds that a majority protest does not exist, and therefore I move to adopt resolution 2011-XXX, which is the resolution approving the rate increase.
So could we get the maker of the amendment and the seconder just to go ahead and make the motion read, I move that the board find a majority protest does not exist and that the board adopt resolution 2011-25?
So amended.
So amended.
Okay. So that will be the motion on the floor then? I think that addresses your concern.
Yep.
I had the same concern. So.
Okay.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote, please.
Director Boga?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Vice President Newhart?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. And again, I appreciate the public's comment and input on this particular item because it was an item that we did not take comfortably having to increase rates, and I think we worked out a good compromise solution that addresses everybody's concerns. So with that, then, we'll move to item 4 on the agenda, which is administrative and committee reports, starting with the administrative reports to CAL FIRE. Since I don't see Chief Benares here, I would hope that Mr. Gilmore will be giving that report.
Yes, it certainly won't be as detailed as Chief Benares' report. The one thing I wanted to call attention to you in his written report is under special projects, the clearing of the Tierra and Las Encinas Greenbelt hazard abatement project has been completed. We've got a lot of actually quite a bit of grant money to help with that and some volunteer hours from the California Conservation Corps. The project went very well and got a couple of couple of complaints and a lot of compliments on the work that was done. Also, I wanted to recognize the efforts of the Fire Safe Council, and we'll actually be coming back to the board to do a little bit of it. They want to, the Fire Safe Council and Leon Golden would like to do a little bit of a presentation to show the board visually what happened there. So you can expect to see that. I think he's looking at January.
Yeah, I've talked to Mr. Golden, and we're looking at January for agendizing that item.
Other than that, if there's any specific questions, I can try and answer them or make sure and bring an answer back at the next meeting.
Any questions? Mm-hmm. You're on the ESAC, so hopefully you would know. Can we have the Utility Department report?
Yes, thank you, President Ohilski. Total production for the month of September was 23 million gallons, and that represents a decrease in production from last year of 4.2%. So we're still seeing production and consumption go down. 57% of the water service area is billed for 24.63 million gallons, generating revenue of $165,625. Revenue went down by approximately 6.6%, and the consumption went down by approximately 5.3% from last year. The crew has been busy getting ready for the rainy season, so they've done some work at our drainage facilities, and we're hoping to get lots of rain. So with that, the usual tables and graphs are also included in the report, and I can answer any questions you might have.
Director Baltimore.
Just a thought came in, because every time I read these reports, you know, I say, hey, we're doing good work over here with our water conservation. And as a number of people spoke in the initial public comment, this might be an opportunity for a little bit of PR, whether that's from the utilities or from the general manager, of just throwing some facts out there to the local paper saying, this is what the Los Osos Water District has been.
Features including different strata, different layers of different types of soil, faults, and other underground features. And so they've, for the most part, been through Los Osos without any issues or problems. There's another phase to the project, which will include an ocean sort of investigation where they'll use some big ships that tow a device behind that create literally some explosions and create shock waves in the water, and the sensors at the seafloor then read the signals as they penetrate beneath the seafloor and do the same kind of thing, rebounding off of features that are below the seafloor. This is all part of an effort to gain a better understanding of what our earthquake sort of situation is like, what kind of faults there are in the area, what type of ground movements and maximum accelerations we're likely to experience if we do have a major earthquake in this area. And generally that information will be available to all of us for our use and structural engineers and that sort of thing. So it's kind of exciting. The main reason for doing that, PG&E is doing this, obviously, is a part of the relicensing for Diablo Canyon and the concerns about the nuclear power plant being near some earthquake faults that permeate our area here. Also wanted to report on a request from the U.S. Census. They did a survey of government agencies, and I responded to their request and provided some information on the district, how big we are, what we do, that sort of thing. And there's some information attached to the general manager's report that kind of sheds a little more light on that subject. I also wanted to report on my attendance at the CSDA annual conference, which was October 10th through the 13th. It was in Monterey, and as usual, the California Special District Association put on an incredible event. It was very informative. I got a chance to talk to a lot of other board members and general managers from all over California and attend a great number of presentations, focusing primarily on the key elements of leadership, relationships, and organizational vitality. I went to some other sessions and learned a little bit more about, in some of the smaller groups, learned about some Prop 218 updates, other issues regarding financial accountability, public outreach, workers' compensation, and Proposition 26. So it was a very worthwhile conference to attend, and I look forward to working more with the California Special District Association. With that, I can answer any questions you might have.
Any questions of the general manager? LOCAC report. They are here, but they're having a strategic planning session, I believe. So I did attend as the district representative, so I can give that now.
Or you did?
Oh, you did.
I did.
We were both there. We were both there. You're right. You want to give it now, or do you want to wait till later?
We could wait.
Okay. We'll do it at the end of committee reports then.
Okay.
That's right. You were there as the official rep. I was there for other reasons.
That's right. You were the lawyer for...
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll move on to committee reports. First committee is the Emergency Services Advisory Committee.
Expansion of the minutes, the drafts minutes that are in the report. Extended time was talked about the purchase of the new fire engine, and Fireman Roger Reinert gave the report in place of the chief, and he was, we're going to say, re-welcomed back to the station after 2 years in Monterey, and he did a fantastic job of filling us in and keeping us of the process of the purchase of the fire engine, and everything's on track. Too much information to relay, but everything's on track and scheduled such that the engine will probably be purchased, which should be purchased for the next budget, by the next budget. Doesn't mean it'll be delivered, but at least purchased by then. It was suggested that it go to the Finance Committee to keep our options open, that if we can get a 0% financing, you know, a half a percent on $500,000 is still better than 0%. So that was suggested to go to the Finance Committee to keep that option open when the purchase of the fire engine actually comes over. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the highlights. That's the end of my report.
Let me just ask a question for the Finance Advisory Committee. So what you're suggesting is once they get actually real numbers that come to the Finance Advisory Committee, you're suggesting we look at it now?
No. I suggest that we be
budget adjustments for the restricted FEMA funds. There wasn't a lot of discussion on those three items, but those three, the committee did all recommend that the board approve those. The other two items had to do with the audit. In the audit, there were two areas of concern identified by the auditors. One was the inventory of the assets. Is that mine? Or? The inventory of the assets that the district has, that was a concern. And after a detailed discussion at the Financial Advisory Committee, it was finally identified that we are able to inventory all of our assets excepting the wastewater project assets. So I believe that the auditor is going to change their opinion letter to say that our inventory assets are fine for everything except for the wastewater projects, which cannot be valued until such time as the wastewater project proceeds forward. So that will take part of that contingency away from the audit report. So I thought that went very, very well during that part of the meeting. The other issue that we discussed is the issue that's been outstanding since apparently 2003, or when dinosaurs roamed the earth, I'm not sure when, was the $1.3 million that's on the books that we don't really have. So we did discuss at length, and it was helpful that the auditor was there from Bakersfield. We did discuss that at length, and we went through actually a number of different proposed motions as to how to resolve that. And after detailed discussion with AMPI and with the auditor and with the public and with the board, or pardon me, with the committee actually adopted a recommendation of how to allocate that money so that would not show up as a significant deficiency on our audits in the future, and that would be coming to the board for adoption at our next meeting in December. And one of the things that the committee wanted to make clear was this will allow us basically to close the door on the pass, so now we can do real-time budgeting from this point forward because we won't have to worry about how do we account for money that, and everybody, I mean, it's a complicated issue, but we're done with it, assuming the board approves that allocation next meeting, and then we'll be able to move forward on a real-time basis from that point forward. And I think that's one of the things that I've been working on for the last year and a half, so hopefully that either the recommendation of the committee will be approved by this board next time or we'll come up with some solution that we can close the door on that. But I was happy that the auditor was able to come, and I think it was very, very helpful and a good conversation. Michael, was there anything I missed?
Well, I think it was very helpful having the public there, particularly Richard, as far as allocating the money to the right accounts. I think we came up with a good solution in the percentages.
Okay. Well, we'll see that in 2 weeks at our next meeting. Okay, moving on then to the Utility Advisory Committee.
Okay. We've had two Utility Advisory Committees since the last meeting because we postponed one in October. So on October 25th, the Utilities Advisory Committee met. We were fortunate to have a presentation by Rob Miller. He came and presented, did a presentation on our supply infrastructure issues, including anticipated project types and future operational costs. This discussion led to the formation of a water revenue subcommittee to develop a revenue plan to maintain the CSD infrastructure. So this is something that we've been wanting to get in place for a while. The next thing here is that we alluded to earlier in response to comments made during public comment section. It was asked that I bring to the board's attention that there is a strong possibility that there are many people in our community that are not aware that Los Osos is in a level 3 severity water shortage due to overdraft. Okay. And the subsequent saltwater intrusion. And I think everybody in the room pretty much agreed. I shouldn't go to that sweeping, but the question is district wide. The CSD, we have a conservation. We talk about it here on a monthly basis. We talk about it, our water conservation program at the utilities. But we need to expand this out. We've discussed this more in the Utilities Advisory Committee on the subsequent meeting. But I'm bringing it out here to the board to generate an awareness, and maybe as a board we can come. We also requested from staff to determine process and limitations on posting signs in and around Los Osos. The other thing is the committee voted unanimously to request that the board approve that any funds not spent are put into reserve for the use at conservation or conservation-related projects such as retrofit. So right now we have the $30,000 budgeted, but we didn't use it all last year and it went away. So we want to make sure that that gets rolled over for the following year. Then kind of jumping ahead to November 9th meeting, my notes here are a little sketchy, but basically information was presented to the committee that indicates that the county is interested in our previous water conservation program. And that's important on several levels because it helps to open up a dialogue for conservation program, including retrofits. If they're willing to talk, which we have heard You know, we've kind of gotten the door shut on us that they're not willing to talk about retrofits. But that's not really acceptable, and we need to press that issue more, and maybe this is a way that we can address that. What else did we do? We had some regular updates, and then we continued the discussion on the water conservation plan, and I presented a kind of a campaign plan for the year 2012, and I need to let the committee kind of think about that for a little bit, and then we'll present more on that campaign next month.
He discussed that in the very beginning.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. One thing I just wanted, and this will put this on our calendar for future items, I wanted to make clear what Leonard had discussed. The issue about that there's X amount of dollars in the budget for water conservation, and what we do now is that if that's not expended or spent by the end of the fiscal year, it rolls into the general fund. So I think it's a very, very valid point that, especially for water conservation, those funds need to roll over to the following year. So that's, we'll bring that up when we're reviewing the budget, but I just want to make sure everybody's aware of what that comment is. So we don't want those funds to be merged right into the general budget. We want them to stay specifically allocated towards water conservation.
And so that's a board policy, or is that a, just an internal budget?
Well, that would be
item?
Something that we deal with in our budget for next year.
Okay.
When we get to the end of the budget. We're going to do a mid-year adjustment to the budget, I assume, so we'll address it at that point.
Okay.
I would also, I just had a really good idea when I was sitting here.
Uh-oh.
Unfortunately, I don't know.
What time is it? What day is it?
I don't know. And I want to thank Director Moodhart. He just flew back into town and came directly here from the airport. So he's been out of time zone. So I appreciate you coming back from two time zones.
Way past my bedtime.
To attend our meeting. But I think this idea of publicity on the level 3 severity, since I have the authority to appoint ad hoc committee, the idea just struck me that we could appoint, or I could appoint an ad hoc committee of Director Moodhart and Director Baltimore to come up with ideas for us. So if you two are agreeable, I think I'd like to appoint you as ad hoc committee and come back to us in January with some recommendations.
We
I can only do two, David.
No, okay.
We can easily, I mean, I think we can easily do that because we have a plethora of suggestions.
I mean, you can involve UAC other members, but I can only put two board members.
Right. And what's our expense account?
Zero.
All right. So I will hereby appoint Director Moodhart, Director Baltimore to a committee to discuss water conservation publicity measures and come back to the board.
And that reminds me, I wanted to add that Mr. Gilmore did present us with a sign ordinance at the last meeting, and so we kind of have to hash through that and see what it all means. But I understand that also that somebody you're associated with put a sign up recently.
Morro Bay National Estuary Program. Yeah. We have those signs at the entry to the estuary. You can see them outside the Morton's Ranch here on Los Osos Valley Road. So
maybe you could help us with.
We will.
Shortcut some of that.
It took 2 years to get that sign approved.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
And I wanted to comment that signs announced came to the decision that they wanted to hear a little more from Audubon about the proposal, and they wanted an opportunity for the public to interact more with Audubon before going ahead with the proposal. And my understanding is there's now a walk that's scheduled at the Sweet Springs facility on the 19th. That would be.
I can give more details.
Okay, and yeah, there can be. But that was the conclusion that was reached. And then, sometime shortly before the crack of dawn, I gave my presentation on the CSD. And it was an interesting meeting, but it showed the Audubon Society. I think one thing that came across is that when there is something that's going to have an impact on the community, it really helps to be more proactive in getting the community involved. So that was, I think, the lesson that came across.
Yeah, And I'd like to just get some board comment on this particular item. You know, we agreed to letting them move us back in the agenda, and quite frankly, I don't think that that's doable. I personally think we need to stay in the top because there's no reason for us to sit there for their business items. They're at our top of our agenda. So unless somebody on the objection or board has an objection, I think that I would like to talk to Vicki and ask her to move us back to the top of the agenda.
I agree.
I would encourage that.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, I will do that. And I don't think I have a problem. I don't think anybody on our board has a problem with answering questions from the public. It's just the timing of us on the agenda.
Right. I think that's right.
Okay. I attended the, for those who don't know, I did get elected the LAFCO representative. I attended my first LAFCO meeting this morning as a commissioner. It's interesting because the item that they're discussing right now is the Paso Robles sphere of influence and the groundwater basin issues up there. So which dovetails exactly where you were discussing. So I think that there's a lot of parallels there, believe it or not. They don't have the seawater intrusion, but as far as the groundwater, the paucity of water, there's a lot of parallels there. So I think that's something that's going to be probably helpful to my education and hopefully helpful to the board. And let me just follow up on David's item right now so I can get that out there. There is going to be an open house at Sweet Springs this Saturday from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. It was originally going to be in the morning, but it's been moved back to the afternoon because we're doing bird counting in the morning, so it would interfere to have a crowd out there at the same time as the bird counting. So there's going to be a 2 to 4. There'll be an explanation of what the project proposal is. Then there'll be a tour of the site, and then there'll be a question and answer period at the end. So Audubon Society, that is a result of the input that came out from LOCAC. The session will be hosted by Moro Coast Audubon Society, and LOCAC will be in attendance. So to fill in the gaps on that one. So do we have anybody then that has other reports from other community interest reports, et cetera?
Yes.
Yes, Director Muthart.
I attended the RAC meeting.
Was that in Minnesota or when you were here?
That was Wisconsin where I was. Go Badgers, yes. They're real serious about their Badgers and their Packers out there, I will tell you. I did attend the RAC meeting, and unfortunately, in my haste, I left all of my information at home. I thought I was going to be coming into town earlier than I did. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is Dan, correct me if I'm wrong here, but in the master water plan, the Paso Robles is going through an ordinance process for water conservation and water shortages. It's very similar to what we're going through, and it's something that I think that we'll be able to benefit from because they're doing a lot of work, and I think that we might be able to model after them for our ordinance. So,
I think definitely the Paso is something that we can benefit from, definitely.
I did attend. I went to, and you guys might have to help me on this. It was the workshop they held at Cal Poly on the
We can give you a pass on it.
Okay.
You can report
anyway,
next time.
I'll report next time. Thanks.
Sorry about that. Sure you.
I thought it would come to me if I started talking about it.
You're,
you know,
somewhere between here and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Right,
pulling a Rick Perry on it.
Impact, or if Mr. Gilmore knows what impact they're considering up in Sacramento, the governor to do that trigger because of the deficit that they're facing, the three and a half billion dollars that they're not that was expected, that's not there, and they're talking about a trigger that they already have in place when it's set off to give funds or take funds from county or restrict funds to county. Are you aware of that
I did read something in the paper, but other than that, no.
Yeah, we've discussed that on CSDA. As currently, the automatic triggers as currently configured do not affect special districts.
Okay, this one.
That's as currently configured.
Currently. So there's a possibility that can come down the road. The other issue is that you said you wanted to move the, on a lighter note, your presentation to LOCAC upward. I don't know why you didn't want to stay for over 100 people that were there to speak. That was the biggest meeting I've ever seen in this kind of a meeting situation. The other thing is that when you talked about the Paso Robles groundwater, and they've been discussing that issue for a long time, they also, what I've noticed through the years is the people in the vineyard have been actually in the forefront because they felt they're being targeted also for taking too much water out of the basin. But they have volunteered to do things that would help the basin. So when you discuss, you know, look at theirs, hopefully you look at our wells, because remember, over a third of our water is pumped by private wells, and that how to incorporate them in the conservation measures that would help this, help our basin dealing with seawater intrusion. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. I would like to speak to the administrative reports. The Utilities Department report, I think, lacks a discussion again. Elaine Watson brought it up earlier. The complications at South Bay and the recent complications at 3rd Street, I think an expanded discussion about what is happening with our water supply would be ideal in the Utilities Department report. The General Manager's report, no discussion on the nitrate removal grant, and none of you asked the question when we got to the warrants about the $6,300 expenditure to Wallace, which I understand is for that grant to have been written. This is a lot of money to write a grant, and when I thought it was asked that Wallace would do it as minimal support for the grant, to write the grant, write the application for the grant. If we're on track to maybe actually receive the grant, that's interesting. Yet it's nitrate removal from the upper aquifer. I ask the question, do we want to drink upper aquifer water? And your ISJ participants are moving forward as though that is the solution to our water supply problems. And I don't think the community has had a full discussion on whether or not they want to drink water that not only is polluted by nitrates, but by emerging contaminants from our soaps, our shampoos, our other pollutants, solvents, etc. I've said it before, and I think it's still a conversation that's long overdue.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, Utilities Report. I brought it to your attention at a recent meeting that the district last year consumed approximately 700 acre feet. We're tracking at this point year over year down another 5.5 million gallons for the first 4 months, about approximately 16 more acre feet. Just keep that in mind. The $30,000 for water conservation, I think part of what you have to consider when bringing that back is establishing a reserve account to put that in from 1 year to the next to make sure that it's protected for the future. The finance the 5.5-year issue. You did mention that at the beginning? Mm-hmm. What was I listening to? Okay.
You might have been out of that.
You might have stepped
out. And the first, and the first meeting is Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Right, we're meeting at, actually at Leonard's office. So.
Yeah.
That's it at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on the administrative items or consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, then we'll close public comment. Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, my name is Craig Williams here. I live in Los Osos. You know, it was amazing. Back in the late, early 70s, I lived here, you know, man, the water was good. It was real good, just like drinking out of spring. But now I drink it, you know, out of all these years, you know, and I get the runs. Why so? I don't understand. And, you know, I mean, you guys are talking about water excursion from the seawater. Well, I mean, do you guys have any type of environmental proof or whatever to prevent this from doing it? And how come it didn't do it 40 years ago? Yeah, I think you guys are just guessing. Alrighty? Especially with the saltwater excursion. I can see probably maybe with the nitrates, with the, you know, the septic system. But the water, I just don't understand that. Now, I worked in hazmat for a long, long time. Now, I noticed that there was used to be an old county sanitation system there. Now, I don't even know, has the county even cleaned it up, whether it's passed by the EPA that it's clean and it's not encroaching into the water system? Does anybody ever check that? Has anybody ever checked that? You know, the old landfill. You know, because that does migrate. All right, and there's a lot of contamination that's within that. Now, I know that you guys are basically a separate group versus the county. Now, I think the county, you know, should be putting in, you know, for the taxpayers. You know, there, this is a small community, okay, that we have a lot of people out on Social Security disability, like my folks. I'm a veteran, and I'm having a hard time getting a job. Now, that's pretty bad, you know, when you're a veteran serving your country, you can't even get a decent job these days. So I'm on a strict finances, just like an elderly people. Now, what I see here in this community is I'm seeing the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. You know, is there any type of solutions, coastal through coastal commissions, environmental study impacts, you know, to really get serious down to the problem? I know City San Bernardino. I used to be a public service worker down in City San Bernardino. The whole city sits on a lake. And they're doing the process of going through and setting up these devices to clean up the contamination in the tan water. I haven't seen this out here. I haven't seen any type of equipment out here doing that. Now, either you got something new and it's underground, and I'm stupid and ignorant, but I don't see any type of equipment cleaning the nitrates or excursion of that. I'm just still saying, same old whales. You know? I feel sad for this community. You know? I got a 77-year-old man. My mom turned 73. We got people out here. It's an ongoing process that needs to come to a halt and to try to help out this community. The only way for this community to grow, you know, and bring more people in, more revenue, is cooperation from the government and the people. That's all I ask.
Could you repeat your name for the record, please? I'm sorry, I didn't.
Yes, my name's Craig Woodensee.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comments? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public comment at this point. There's just a couple of things that came up that I, excuse me. There's a couple things that came up that, Dan, that I would just... Is there any value, or could we go ahead and in our utilities report actually show production by wells? Or is that a possibility? And would there be... Or maybe is that something I can refer to Utility Advisory Committee to discuss?
Yeah, I think we certainly have that information and could provide
because
it.
Because I think that... Because it may be helpful information. So maybe we... If you could look at that utility advisory, and Ms. Tacker brought up the idea about the grant, and we did fail to give a grant update. Could you maybe do a quick update on the
status? We haven't heard anything yet.
But it has been applied for? And,
yes. Okay. And it's the grant application was for $600,000. It includes, these days they're looking for construction-ready projects, shovel-ready, they call it all the time. Wallace billed us for $6,300 to produce plans that are very close to being shovel-ready, if not shovel-ready, for a $600,000 project, which is just over 1%, which is unheard of in engineering. Generally, engineering costs are 15% of the project.
Yeah, we'll make it available. So, just a couple other comments. I think Richard's comment about the conservation funds going into reserve account is very valid. So I think we'll elevate my prior comment about making that a consideration to actually making that a reserve account. And I'd like to thank Richard and myself and everybody else for, and I think, Richard, it's important to close the books on the past. So we've got one, hopefully in 2 weeks we'll have that thing closed. And I just had one last comment, and Frank brought this up, and I found this really interesting this morning at LAFCO, and I hadn't really thought about this before, but, you know, cities have green belts around them. You know, we have a green belt around us, but that actually can also be used for water purposes. And what they've done in Paso Robles, they actually have a purple belt, which is the wineries have gotten involved in doing water conservation measures, et cetera. So I think that's something that we can adapt into our community here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not going to be a purple belt, but I think the concept is that the green belt also acts as water conservation measure, not just as a visual or a environmental.
No, I like that.
So I think that's something we should put on your agenda. Okay, so any other comments?
Yeah.
Let's put it on your agenda.
I'd like to just make a comment from what...
You'd like to resign as... Yeah. I am your vice chair, so I'm putting it also on my agenda, too.
If I could just comment on Julie Tacker's comment about the water and drinking that. And that's something I've asked Rob Miller a couple of times now, and when I talk about the nitrate, I don't necessarily say nitrates, but I like the term water quality, and which encompasses the whole, means everything that we, you know, and are we looking at all the right tests, all the modern tests and analyses, and can we acquire the data that we need to make good decisions? That's the way I look at it, and it's, you know, him being an engineer, we can talk statistics and those kind of neat things. So it's out there. It's being discussed.
Okay, thank you. With that, then, we'll go ahead and move to our last item, the general action items.
Mr. President.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We do need a motion to approve the consent.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. We need a motion to go approve the administrative report, committee reports, and consent calendar items. Do I have a motion?
As so moved.
Second?
Second.
Any objection, or pardon me, any discussions?
Craig,
Director Baltimore. No discussion, any objections, unanimous roll call. Seeing none, those items are approved unanimously. Which will now, we'll move to general action item, which is number 6 on our agenda. And just for informational purposes, there is amended staff report, which I believe there are copies of in the back available to the public. And I believe all the board members have the amended staff report. Okay, Dan?
Yes, thank you, President Ohilski. This item before you is the much discussed and much anticipated transfer of properties that the district owns and that the district acquired for the wastewater project to the county for use with the county's wastewater project. As you mentioned, there are a couple of amended conveyance documents that are included in the revised attachments, I think it's important to note that there are a couple of different procedures for conveying these properties, since the district has interest in a number of different ways, holds interest in a number of different ways for some of these. In some cases, there's easements that benefit the district that we're transferring to the county. In other cases, it's properties that the district has interest in that will be conveyed by quitclaim deed. And district council has provided some additional detail as to how those properties will be conveyed and the reasons why they're conveyed using these particular vehicles, and also the explanation as to why the properties are being conveyed without consideration. With the exception of the easement that's being conveyed at the water yard, there is specific consideration for the conveyance of that easement. The easement is for the location of an emergency generator that will kick on and operate during a period of extended power outage, and it will be located at the water yard and connected to the water yard and facilities in that area, such that if there is an extended power outage, that generator will not only be able to power the components for the wastewater project for which it's designed, but it'll also power the water yard, the 8th Street pumps for the drainage at 8th and El Moro, the 8th Street well, and the next. And one question that I received in some of the discussion about these property transfers at the committee level was what properties the district had acquired for the wastewater project that have not been requested by the county. And I found, I kind of found four, and I found out that three of those four are shared facilities. They not only provide some level of septic service to either Vista de Oro or Bay Ridge, but they also provide drainage percolation, drainage basins for those neighborhoods. So if the county does not need those properties for the wastewater project, which it appears they do not, then the wastewater use for those properties will go away, but we'll continue to operate them as drainage facilities. And the one exception is a lot on Loma Street. It's 590 Loma, and it was in district records. It was kind of vaguely referred to as a location for leach fields, but it's basically a small residential lot, so I doubt it was intended for that. I've seen some other information that would suggest that it was intended for a harvest well when the treatment plant was planned to be located at the Midtown site. Since it's not, that is a surplus property, and apparently it has no use to the county for the wastewater project. And at some point, some future board meeting, we may be looking at what to do with that property in terms of disposing of it as surplus property to the district. I also, I can answer any questions you may have. I also noticed that we've got Phil Acosta and John Waddell from the county here in case they can provide some additional detail or answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. John, do you have anything to add before we have questions here?
Well, I just wanted to make maybe just make some comments. We did provide an amended staff report. There were two revised documents that are redlined that are in the that are included in the revised staff report. One of them was it's a redlined version of the Van Camp assignment of easement, and that's an assignment because the district does want to retain certain rights within this existing easement for the potential of looping water lines. So that's why it's just not a straight line grant. There's also an edited, which is also redlined, water yard emergency generator easement. That document is redlined at the request of the county. I have reviewed it. I have no objections, and I concur with the comments. They're mostly just clarification. And one was that the county did not believe that they needed the legal description of the actual area of the easement, that the depiction in the exhibits was good enough for them. And so you'll see some redlining related to that issue. And I know that one issue came up. Oh, the other thing I wanted to point out that's in the staff report, that the real property interests outside of the easements are being transferred by quitclaim deed. And as I pointed out in the staff report, we are quitclaiming whatever interest that we have in these properties. We are not making these transfers with any warranties of any type. And the reason behind that is that even though the judge in the at the bankruptcy trial approved our debt adjustment plan, which included the transfer of these properties without consideration. That is still under appeal. So the mode of transfer that we have negotiated is a good word, is by quitclaim, so that it's clear that we are not at this particular point in a position to warrant or what our title interest is in those particular properties. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear on the record.
I would probably add one other thing, and that is if for whatever reason there needs to be additional minor adjustments to the language, that probably should be included in the motion that that staff is able to make minor adjustments to the language that may be desired or requested by the parties.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Sure. You two guys have done?
Yep.
Okay, what I'd like to do, how I'd like to proceed here, is that we'll have questions of the board to either John or Dan or County at this point. Then we'll have public comment. Then we'll come back with additional questions and discussion. So okay. If you have any clarification questions right now, let's go with those. Then we'll have public comment.
Okay. Great.
Of the county's wastewater treatment project. So I'm comfortable with the language and the deed.
And what would happen if the county violated this intent?
Well, the deed, first of all, I just want to make it clear, in answering that question, I have no reason to believe that the county would ever use the property other than why they are requesting it. So by the way, I will stand by that.
All right.
So the other thing is the reciting of the AB 27 provisions are both covenants and conditions of the transfer, and that's recited in the deed.
Okay.
I think, yeah, John, you talked about reversionary interest. I think, could we maybe put that in layman's term as to what you're...
Let
Director Baldwin.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Since I'm one of the attorneys, and we might want to have a layman talk about that.
Yeah. What I'd actually like just written into the minutes is just two sentences, and you can, everybody, the county and council, general manager, confirm if my interpretation is correct, because people will read these minutes. And this is a issue that some people have had concern to me. So this conveyance of property, okay, is only to be used for the wastewater project. The county cannot use it in any other manner. They cannot sell the property claiming that they're going to use the money for the wastewater project. It's only physically to be used for the wastewater project. If it's not, it comes back to Los Osos. That's how I understand it.
And I think that's correct.
I think what Director Baltimore is asking is when we do our minutes, that verbiage actually be in the minutes, so it's available for future record rather than people having to listen to the...
Correct.
Team. Yeah, I think that's fine.
So, are we ready? Yes.
Well, it's going to be on the tape.
It's on the tape.
Okay.
But I think we can...
Yeah, like that, spoken in.
Well, he has notes, and we can, and we'll make sure that it gets done properly. Okay, it's on the tape, and he has notes. And
I pulled my microphone in close.
It's about 8:35, so you should be able to mark it on the tape. But I do think it's important to get that on the record, because oftentimes, you know, people pull out the written minutes, but they don't go back through the tapes or the videos to know actually what's done. So I think it's better to have it all up front.
Yep.
Any other questions before we go to public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll take public comment on item number 6.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor again.
I have a question, and the question being, why is the map with all of the properties to be transferred to the county not in the information here in the to the public? I went back there and looked. There's 13 different properties, and one of them is at the corner of Lupin and Donna, number 074-141-003. That's in a wetland. The State Coastal Commission already determined that it was in a wetland, and that if they install a pump station in there, are they going to dig down below the surface and have water coming in and install a pump station below the surface in water? Come, let's be realistic about this. Why was there not a map in the report to the public so they could locate where all of these properties are? It's very simple. General manager publishes maps to go in other pieces and bits of information. 13 properties are a lot of properties, and it's a lot of money that's going out of this community that has already been paid for.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker. Mrs. Taylor's looking at the amended staff report. And I think that would have been prudent to maybe have put them together for the public to have them in hand rather than sharing the binder in the back of the room. Additionally, for the public at home, an overhead showing them what properties we're talking about would have been prudent. Something that I think is still a mystery for the community, unless you are paying very close attention. There's a split rail fence. There's planting of native habitat. The site is intended to be restored to better than when we bought it, better than when the tractors and the trees were destroyed or went across the property. And I think we could have had a better conversation. I think the community deserved that, and Mr. Waddell is here. He can convey that to his supervisor, that the community didn't get to discuss what's going to happen at that property. Last the community really heard, was that they were going to use two pieces of Tri-W and that you would retain ownership of the majority of the site. So that really didn't come out anywhere, and here we are already transferring its ownership. We're transferring its ownership. Does this mean that tomorrow Mr. Gilmore and his crew can go out and take that fence down? Because you own the fence. This community owns the fence. The district paid for the fence, the entire district, not the prohibition zone only. That's a complication. That's an issue for me because that's the people's money on that fence. And Mr. Gibson says the project doesn't need the fence, but I believe once you take liability for that property, that fence needs to remain up. In some places, it needs to be put back up, and people need to be kept off that site. I think a further discussion and a disclosure to the community is that the site will be used for some staging. It will be several years that they will be using it, or that's their intention. I don't know that the Coastal Commission's actually going to let them do this. Parking tractors, stacking pipes, and operating from that central location in the middle of town, obstructing traffic, and it's going to be problematic. And again, the community hasn't heard about it because the county hasn't had the courtesy to be full disclosure up front and let the community really voice their concerns or their opinion about it. As far as you go, the properties that aren't being transferred at this time are of much more interest to me. And again, I think a map and those properties listed in your staff report for us to have studied ahead would have been ideal.
Thank you. I gave you a little extra time
since you
provided the clarification to Gwen Taylor about why the map wasn't there.
Yes, Craig Winmacy. I got a question for you. Now, you guys had sewer set up eventually, you know, out near where the library used to be. Now, I saw a layout on the map of the development of that sewer treatment plant, and which was kind of intriguing because I noticed it had a more of a futuristic design of having everything underground and having up on top as a, you know, soccer field, playing field, and stuff like that. Now, which is all right. You know, I can see that type of design. I've never seen it before. Now, we used to work for City of San Bernardino Sewer Department, and we've always been getting A ratings for the best sewer plant, you know, out in California next to Fullerton. And Fullerton City down there has a model sewer treatment plant. So I've been to different facilities to see, you know, what's new in technology, you know, to have a more better system. Now, that one there was all right. But all of a sudden, boom, I'm hearing, you know, that it went defunct. And a lot of people's already paid money into that. Now, how are we going to be able to recover that? Or how is the people that already paid into something like that recover that? That's one. Two, how much of this is county acquiring? Now, is county acquiring these properties for this new treatment plant through purchase, or are they using code enforcement eminent domain? Can you guys answer that for me? Is the county using any eminent domain on any of these properties?
No.
None. So there's no county involvement with eminent domain on acquiring these properties to put in the treatment plant? Because I'm sure that that's a lot of concern with a lot of people here, you know, whether or not the county is using their muscles in eminent domain to acquire these properties. And that's pretty much basically what I'm going to find out is, you know, who's acquiring the properties. This one right here, how's the community going to try to get something back where they can be able to have it reclaimed back to what it's supposed to be, and they'll be able to have this treatment plant? There's too many things that's open that the public is concerned about.
Thank you. Next. I will point out for the benefit of the last speaker who is new to the process here, we do answer questions at the end, not during the comments.
The cost of this project now monthly should be stated as the combination of the old assessment and the new assessment. And that's the number that should be out there. And the only way that number's been brought down is extended financing over a long period of time. And at some point down the road, I'd like to see what our possibilities are of refinancing our portion of it through the state and maybe bringing that cost down. This is a slam dunk tonight. I mean, you have really no choice in doing this. But I wanted to bring that forward. I think now we know the total cost of this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Frank?
Frank Soleil. I want to say, first of all, I support a number of issues that Julie brought forward. I'm glad that she's here to bring these forward. The other thing is that, you know, I read when I read that 2701, AB 2701, you know, is the one that brings this forward. Have you read 2701 in that section? Did you get a copy of that section that says this is what my... So you all have a copy. But it's not in the report here that I saw. It's in the resolution. I didn't see it. So that was my question, if you did get a chance to read 27, because I know the county and I have argued over 2701 since Julie and I went up there and testified and were able to modify that bill about what the meaning is of 2701. So thank you.
Further public comment? Okay, seeing none, then we'll close public comment, bring it back to the board. We have questions of staff, and our county staff is here. Do we have any questions? Yes,
sure.
Director Bobo.
Yes, what is the plan with the fencing around the Tri-W site?
As far as I know, we own that fencing, so.
Okay.
Okay.
Good evening. I'm John Waddell with the Public Works Department. First of all, thank you for hearing the item this evening and allowing us to be here and answer questions. I'm just kidding. The fencing, we're finaling the plans for the restoration of the site, and you know, it's anticipated that the fencing would be removed and be an expense of the project. If the contractor were to salvage any of that fencing, and that would be reflected in their bids and would reduce the cost of that restoration and the cost to the community. That's the current plan. And we also have, you know, through our project, the you know, we have the permit authority to be able to remove that fencing. It's our understanding that the CSD does not have the ability to remove the fencing.
Okay. Excuse me, but how would it be reflected by reducing the cost to the community if you can salvage the fencing?
Well, based on the contractor's bids for the restoration of the site, you know, one of the bid items would be to remove that existing chain link fence. You know, they're going to bid on what their costs are, and when they're developing their bids, if they know they'll be getting if they're anticipating some type of a salvage value on that, that would.
It was just the word community, I think, that was the cost to the community. Are you talking about the county as the community or Los Osos as the community?
Well, Los Osos is the community. The county's administering the project, but Los Osos would be
paying for the restoration.
Paying for the restoration and realizing any cost savings, yes.
I think this is something our staff needs to work out, because this catches me off guard, John, to tell you the truth, because we do own the fence, and we may just take it back. I mean, it's not part of what we're deeding over here.
Yeah, we may be interested in having it, if you have permission to, like you said, you're correct, we don't have authorization to even stand up the sections that have been knocked down. So we would be looking at getting the fence back. Having the sections stockpiled somewhere where we could surplus them properly and, sure. and recover some cost.
Yeah, you know, it had not.
Hasn't come up before.
Yeah, it hadn't really come up before. I would have thought with the quit claim of the property, it would include everything on the property,
not the
if
personal.
There
property.
Is, and I wouldn't think the salvage value of the fence, well, especially once you have the labor of taking it down, would be that great. But if there is a need or an interest and a use for that fence for the CSD, we can certainly work with you on that.
I'm glad it was brought up now rather than later, but that's something that needs to be worked out at staff level.
And even, honestly, even if it was brought up later, I mean, that's entirely
I'm glad
flexible
it brought
we
up
can work
now.
With you on that.
This is not a permanent fence. This is a temporary fence. This is a marketable item. This is not a salvageable item. This is something that has probably five figures attached to it.
And immediately replanted and restored, but we would save some small areas for staging of approximately 2 to 4 acres for staging areas for contractors, so that there would be a site that is not currently habitat. And then when the construction of the collection system was done, then as part of finaling out that project, those areas will be replanted and restored.
So, excuse me, the staging areas will be restored after they're not used as staging?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there a particular standard that they have to be restored to? I mean, is this something that's just, we're going to do it, or is there a...
The Coastal Commission Development Permit has the criteria for the restoration of the property, and it's subject to approval by the executive director of the Coastal Commission. So that condition is in the Coastal Development Permit.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Yes.
Hopefully I say his name right. Mr. Woodensey's question is more formally answered. He asked if there was any eminent domaining being used on the project.
No, there's not.
Is that written by the county?
Yep. Excuse me. Any other questions?
Oh, I just want to note that it's not eminent domain. This transfer is pursuant to a legislative
No, I think he was asking, in addition to this, is there going to be any eminent domain? That's not, I mean, that answer is, that question, we don't know, we're not aware of any, but that's a question that has to be asked for the county, so it's outside our purview. We're not pursuing any eminent domain. I don't, would you like to respond to that now, John, or? Or? After this, then we're done with discussion, correct?
Bill Acosta, right-of-way agent for the Department of Public Works. And a very broad question here. The body of law that any public entity operates under to acquire private property for public use is the eminent domain law. So the broadest answer to a very broad question is yes. But in this action here tonight, this is under legislation, and it doesn't fall under that body of law. Thank you.
Okay. See, and no further discussion?
I just had one other comment, because we're not giving all of our property, right? I mean, we still have, like, the Farrell Street and things like that. And there's still...
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, I just wanted that kind of out for the public.
It's no, I think in the
not
thing
not everything.
No, the thing that's critical to note is that these properties were purchased with wastewater funds from the previous project. So
precisely.
That's what 2701 talks right. about, is the transfer of the properties acquired for the previous project. So they're being transferred from the previous project to the new project.
Yeah,
so
I just wanted to make that clear.
I think
for
Dan indicated there may be four pieces that are not being transferred that we would still have ownership of.
That's correct. As I said in my report, there's of the four properties that have wastewater uses or were acquired for a wastewater purpose, three of those also have a drainage purpose, so we'll continue to use them for that purpose with the one lot that's apparently not needed for any purpose.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any further discussion? Can we have a motion then, please? Somebody?
Okay,
there's a motion on the amended staff report.
Okay, I move that the board adopt resolution 2011-26 approving the property and easement transfers from the district to the county as requested in accordance with the provisions of AB 2701, including an easement for emergency generator facilities at the district's water yard, and authorize the board president and general manager to execute the documents relating to the transfers.
We have a motion and seconded by Director.
Mr. President, yes. Dan just brought up a good comment. We don't anticipate this, but there could be some minor revisions to these documents if the board wanted to authorize the district legal counsel and consulting with the general manager, that the staff would be authorized to include minor revisions to these
you're talking about
easements and grant deeds.
Basically editorial changes.
Exactly.
Not substantive changes.
Non-substantive changes.
How about if it's okay with the maker of the motion, can we just add, I guess I would see it added as an intent, but what I'd like to do is say that by the legal counsel, general manager, and the president, just so we have one of the policymakers involved in that to make sure that I don't feel that you're going out. I have some closing comments about the Sweet Springs thing, but does anybody have anything else?
Took care of mine in the front.
Okay. Sweet Springs, again, the Sweet Springs has submitted a use permit application to develop public access on the 8.2 acres that they've acquired, which is East Sweet Springs, which is east of the current preserve. They do have a public session for a public tour, an explanation of the proposed project, and a question and answer period scheduled for this Saturday from 2 to 4, rain or shine, 2 to 4 this Saturday. At Sweet Springs, East Sweet Springs, corner Ramona and 4th. I also would like, if anybody on this board wants to volunteer, I know Director Vogel went to my CSDA meeting 2 months ago, but we do have our bi-monthly meeting tomorrow, and we will have a presentation from PG&E about solar collection facilities on district properties. So it's from 11 to 1:30 at the Wallace Group, if anybody's interested in attending. I can take one of you.
I can't.
Okay.
Can't
you're all passing.
It,
well, hang on.
11:30 to 1:30 tomorrow.
I got the last one.
I'm sorry.
Well, sorry.
I'm sorry, can't help you.
I want to bring the solar expert to you, solar meeting.
Okay, so any other public, or pardon me, any other director comments?
Just want to thank the community for its continued involvement in its own, in this community, and the time that you take to try to understand these issues, which can be complicated.
Yeah, and I think, and I'll just close with the comment, I think that this solid waste proposal, to me, shows the value of community input, because we did significantly change what the original proposal was. And I think also, as I mentioned, the issue of closing the books on that paper balances allows us to do time-based, or pardon me, real needs-based budgeting from this point forward. But I think those are items that were brought forward by the community.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very helpful, because obviously there's five of us and we can't think or do of everything ourselves. Okay? Anything else? Okay, seeing none, we'll adjourn. Our next meeting is on December 1st.
A record.